I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Dusty Hera. No Danny Meringue. He is hoop summiting right now. So we have enlisted the powers of Anthony Leveritz, who we heard just last week talking about his new podcast, The Next Pitch, on the Odyssey Sports Network. You got to turn your mic on, Levs. You got to be a
How
radio.
Do I do this?
There we go. Producer got you. Producer got you. He helped you. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we have brought Anthony in because The Next Pitch pod is now out. You got four episodes that are up, full episodes, two with Brink, two with Hannah Huseman.
Yeah, we have 18 done, I believe. So we're on a Tuesday, Thursday release day schedule until we get caught back up. But we have 18 done, and we got to get 45 done by the end of the year. So we're rocking and rolling.
Holy smokes. I just listened to both of the Hannah Huseman ones.
Thank you.
You're welcome. They are awesome.
She's a stud.
And basically, if you missed what we were talked about with Anthony last week, The Next Pitch is basically a playbook for athletes, parents, coaches, anybody in the life of a young athlete. And you're taking people from when you start youth sports all the way up through the recruiting process and with some of the guests that you have coming down the pipeline, what it's like to actually be a professional athlete too.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and that's the first series. So I think when we started, we were going to do 14 on that topic. We're at 18 now, and it's growing. I think we've got Kelly Graves coming on to interview on Thursday, and then an NBA player coming on the following week, and another NFL former player coming on the week after that. So that might end that series. And then Hannah Huseman and I, she is a big-time mental performance coach, worked in Major League Baseball, NHL, worked with high-level executives in some major, major companies. We're taking 18 topics related to mental performance and going to split the episodes in half and talk about how they relate to sports, but then also how to take those same concepts and translate them into the adult world, whether that's corporate America, your relationships, your life, dealing with your kids, and be able to hopefully provide some information that can help everybody.
Hannah, the latest episode, which dropped this morning.
Yep.
Speaking to me and how I'm dealing with my kids when we're going through coaching. And you said something when you were in with us, and it's the best advice. And this is something that we have been doing for a while with our kids, but the 1 hour rule.
Yeah.
Where you get in the car, we're not talking about what happened at a game or a practice, good, bad, or indifferent.
I think it's critical. You know, your kids want to hear I love you and I love watching you play. You start getting into talking about their coaches or the mistakes that they made or why Johnny or Susie are playing more than you are. Kids don't want to hear that, and it can really corrupt the information and the process and the experience that is supposed to be the best life lesson and classroom for life that a kid can have, can be their sports. Yeah. And they're learning one way or the other. And we can dive into that more today if you want to talk about that. I think that that routine from game over until an hour, hour and a half after the game, if a parent can instill something that is consistent, it can go a long way to helping them with that relationship with their young student athlete.
That's how everybody out here may know you. But the reason why I brought you in, too, is because you and I go way back. You were
going to tell this story?
I'm going to tell all the stories today.
No. I was a young coach when you knew me.
I'm going to tell all of them today. No.
We don't have time.
You were the women's basketball coach at the University of Utah.
Yep.
And you've made several connections, had a great run and tenure at the University of Utah. And then you said, I got to focus on my family.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the...
Well, I got fired first.
Yeah, you did. You get fired. That happens.
Let's tell the truth here.
That's where the other opportunities, though. Yeah. You had other opportunities to continue to coach.
Yes.
And you said, we need to get into the firing. I'm just filing that away. But you had other opportunities, but it was, no, I want to push away, start putting a little bit more focus back on what's going on at home.
Yeah. When I got fired, we moved back to Oregon. We're from here, and I'd coached college men in the state for 10 years previous to going to the University of Utah, with 1 year also in Japan coaching and playing, which is a crazy story. But we moved to Portland. And my wife, bless her heart, who also played in the Pac-10, so she knew what she was getting into. But we had a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old at the time. And I had barely had them together by themselves. I mean, you could count the hours on one hand that I had them by myself. And so just getting to be around and recalibrating and decompressing, you don't know you're on a hamster wheel until you get off of it most of the time.
Yep.
And I miss coaching. I loved every minute of it. I loved the grind of it. You can look how tired those guys looked at the guys and gals looked at the end of March Madness. It's real. I mean, they're working 18 to 20 hours a day, and you're tired. But I loved every minute of it. But I've gotten the opportunity to be a part of my kids' lives, and I don't know that there's anything better than that. But at least for me, and it would have required, it requires you to be so invested that what you do, you're sacrificing something, and that just wasn't worth the sacrifice for me.
Yeah, but where I met you is in those 10 years that you were coaching men's basketball.
Yeah,
you were the lead assistant for Brian McDermott down at Southern Oregon University.
Yep,
and my first impressions of you from afar were, that guy is a lunatic. He does not look like he is a lot of fun to be around.
Thanks.
No, it was. And I was like, and so I talked to all my buddies that were on the team. I was like, dude, Lev is the man. Like, he is the nicest guy. And I got to know you a little bit. And then there was intramural basketball, where football players would always have a couple of teams, and you had taken over running intramural basketball because life at a small college is you do whatever it takes to get that extra cash in your pocket.
The
right?
Most money I made coaching small college basketball in 10 years was $10,000 from the university.
Really?
Really. That's at Southern Oregon. My last year at Southern Oregon, I made 10 grand.
That is a grind. You talk about people grinding.
All I needed, before I got married, all I needed was a 6-pack of beer and a case of ramen, and I could live for a long time. I would have done it for free. You don't get into that level of coaching for the money. I can assure you of that.
You take over intramural basketball, and the first night that he is running intramural basketball, I go up, and as I'm coming down with a rebound, somebody jumps up, and I dislocate my shoulder.
Holy catfish!
Yeah, it wasn't great. Wasn't great. But it was a bad dislocation. And I'm sitting there on the ground, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, this doesn't feel right. You walked up, and you're like, this is the first night. You're like, I just took this over.
And I knew you by then.
Yeah, you knew me by then. You're like, this is the first night. Are you kidding? I'm like, dude, I don't. Is there, you're like, do I have to call an ambulance? And I'm like, I don't think so. And you're like, all right, how are you going to get to the hospital? I'm like, I can't get there. You drove me. And there was a little bit in you that I felt was a little bit frustrated because I didn't feel like you were going over those speed bumps in the parking lot very slowly.
On purpose.
Maybe it would have just popped it right back in. It didn't. We get to the hospital, and we're at Ashland Community Hospital. And they are sitting there, and the doctors are trying to reduce my shoulder, get it back into the socket. And you're just sitting in there watching. And they go, we're going to have to put him out. And so they put me under, and they pop my shoulder back in, and I wake up out of this, and you're still sitting in the corner. Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Somebody had to be there.
Yeah.
And I popped up, and I go, here we go. We're going to the Oak Tree. The Oak Tree is a bar. And by the way, this is a Tuesday night. I'm looking you dead in the eye. This is the one thing I remember is looking you dead in the eyes and going, we're going to the Oak Tree. And then you just going, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm guessing that's the edited version of what I said. I was thinking about how many different ways we were going to get sued and that my career as a college basketball coach and doing anything inside of a gym was over for the rest of my life.
Dude, that was totally fun. Then I remember we get in the car and you're like, you really want to go to the bar? And I was like, no. So you took me home and then I went to the bar.
Yeah.
That's how that Tuesday night was. And then after that, I felt like our relationship really changed from that point on.
Well, it's one of the things I love about small college athletics. I enjoyed every minute of my time at that level. And for those people who have not gone and watched a small college basketball or football game, it's some really good basketball to watch that we have here in the state. But the relationships that you get to build with all the kids and you get to know all the athletes, and it was just an absolute blast to be a part of that. And I'm glad you're doing okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Still haven't had dislocation in a couple of years. Still haven't got surgery on it, but I think I'm past that at this point. But that was... That was one of those stories that all of your players would, I tell them that story and they're like, you've got to be kidding me. You just like probably the right person to say it to, but holy smokes. That is also why I love the small college experience is being a small college athlete. It was like, we got to know our coaches and the coaches of the other sports really well because it was small.
Yeah. And it's a labor of love, man. It is. Most kids are not getting a full ride there. I mean, you figure out a way to match Pell Grant and some sort of scholarship money to get as much as you possibly can. But most kids are paying some amount of their out of their own pocket to be able to play the sport and go to school. And you're around young people that are, you know, grinding every single day. Yep. Great kids, and it was a great, and we were, you know, all the programs at Southern Oregon University at that time and still now are very good. It was an absolute blast, maybe the best time I had in coaching.
We had different people down there.
Yeah,
I mean, wired a little bit differently to be.
I recruited a bunch of them.
It was a fun time.
It was.
It was a fun time. So we are going to be here. We're going to get into all of everything that's going on as a former Division I basketball coach. Today was a day I especially felt you would be awesome to bring in, not just from the men's Final Four, which wrapped up last night in incredible fashion, but then the women's side of it. In the women's tournament, Gino Auriemma does it again.
It's pretty remarkable. 12 titles. It's hard to win one game in college athletics, much less win 12 national championships. It's pretty remarkable.
And to do it against Don Staley in South Carolina, the way that they emphatically did it. He had some comments after the game I want to get your thoughts on, too, because with the House settlement in court over yesterday, boy, the landscape sure does seem to be changing in how different it's going to be looking in a year, 2 years, 3 years than it did 6 months ago or a handful of years ago when you were coaching at the University of Utah. It's a different sport.
Yeah, and things needed to change.
Yeah.
I don't know if now is the time, but I can tell you some of the stupid rules that the NCAA had in place that impacted student-athletes on a daily basis that had to change and needed to change. But when you throw a hand grenade into the middle of something, it's going to take a little time for the shrapnel to all fall and things to get worked out, which is what the transfer portal and NIL and the court cases have done. But in the long term, I believe it's going to be the best thing for the sport.
We got a lot that we need to get to and where we got to start. A big shakeup in the NBA. Three games remaining in the regular season for the Denver Nuggets, and the house has been cleaned by ownership. Dusty Hara, Anthony Leveritz, this is Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
A surprise firing in the NBA as the Denver Nuggets clean house this morning, announcing the firing of Coach Michael Malone.
The Nuggets' Mike Malone and Coach...
Michael Malone.
Michael Malone. My apologies, Coach. I'll get that right here in the playoffs.
Take that L on the way out.
Michael Malone gets fired by the Denver Nuggets this morning. Three games remaining in the regular season, and the Nuggets decide to part ways with the winningest coach in franchise history and the team that currently sits fourth in the Western Conference standings with one of the best players in the world.
It's crazy. It's a crazy world, and it makes you just have to know that there's more to it than what's on the win-loss ledger there, right? There's something underneath there that will come out, and maybe it already has, that has been simmering there. But that's not about winning and losing.
There is also an announcement that is a little odd, but the Denver Nuggets decided, hey, if we're going to rip the Band-Aid off, we're going to go ahead and yank this thing full strength. They announced that their general manager, Calvin Booth, will not be retained. Now, this is interesting. He wasn't fired today. He's been essentially working without contract. They decided that they were not going to agree to a contract extension at the beginning of the regular season. And then throughout the course of the year, they said, this has run its course. And they're done with Calvin Booth as well. He's been the GM since 2020. Michael Malone has been there since 2015. These two won a championship together just 2 years ago with the Denver Nuggets. And now they're going to be starting from scratch with their head coach in their front office. And Kevin O'Connor, the Ringer, he probably had the most damning tweet about any of this and report of any of this. He said, Calvin Booth and Michael Malone hated each other, rarely spoke, and often would talk smack behind each other's backs to everybody around the league that would listen, whether it's executives or reporters. It was not, you say there's more that's going to be bubbling to the surface. That is just kind of the tip of the iceberg with what's going on in Denver right now.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. So, but anytime something like this happens, you know there's got to be some toxicity behind the scenes that is going on. You don't fire a guy like Michael Malone, who obviously is a very good basketball coach. You watch his team play. They play a beautiful brand of basketball. You can see some bickering. I watched them play about a month ago, I think. I remember who they were playing, but it was like some bickering on the sideline, and that kind of stuff happens over the course of a season from time to time. But if that happens on a regular basis and that kind of toxicity that you just read about is going on, it probably made for an untenable situation.
There's been a lot of infighting on the bench. You could see there's been consternation in the fan base because of the moves and lack of moves that the front office has made in Calvin Booth's tenure. And there's kind of two quotes that we went and we found. One near the trade deadline, and this involves Calvin Booth, who was under fire already because of the moves to trade a guy like Bones Highland for 2 second-round draft picks in 2023, saying he just doesn't fit stylistically playing alongside Jamal Murray. And it was like, well, find a way to make that work, right? And then there was lack of movement, not moving a Michael Porter Jr. at the trade deadline. Well, this is something that Calvin Booth said where you can kind of pin this as the point where the fan base had really turned on the front office. This is immediately following the trade deadline, Calvin Booth's press conference this past February.
Yeah, I think this trade deadline was a little bit different from the last one. I think we had a little bit more to work with asset-wise. But I think the best way to describe it is we either had to go big or do nothing, right? And we definitely like some guys in the market, and you know, thought we had some traction in a couple different situations, and whether other teams just beat us out with their offers or we just didn't feel like it was the right use of our assets, combination of those things just led us to be where we're at right now. So
there's a few things in there. The first one is saying go big or do nothing, right? This is a roster where you have one of the best players in the entire world, if not the best basketball player walking on the face of the planet right now, Nikola Jokic.
I think he's the best player in the world.
You have a championship roster. You have guys that are holdovers from your 2023 championship run. You have Russell Westbrook, which you acquired this past offseason. And you're saying that we need to go big or go home. Anybody that has watched the Denver Nuggets is saying a big move is not what they needed. It moves to make their roster make sense. So that's the first part that got people upset in Denver. The second part is where in the same 35 seconds, he says, we feel that we have more assets than anybody else. And then a few seconds later says, we got beat out by other teams for making these moves. Which one is it? Because if you have a bunch of assets, You don't get beat out by other teams.
So did you feel like a general manager was talking out of both sides of his mouth?
I have a feeling that that was happening.
And
right
is
there.
That the first time that that's ever happened
that
in professional sports?
Not the first time, but that was taking every single fan and going, you know what you're doing right now with the best player walking the planet, and you're not making the moves that can support him and make this a perennial contender, because he said, and it was seen as arrogant at the time, and Nuggets fans ate it up, that they were trying to build a dynasty after that 2023 championship. Now it is, it's kind of felt like a rudderless ship. And this is where it kind of ties back here to Portland, right? It's, if you have the assets, and the Blazers are an organization where you need to go big game hunting, the Nuggets ownership held their general manager, who won a title 2 years ago, accountable for the moves that he has made and the ones he didn't make as well.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know what's going on inside that building. But I can assure you that it wasn't good.
Nope.
And ultimately, it must have gotten to a point where they just said, we got to have a completely fresh start, get new set of eyes on here. We don't like the direction that we're going. We're not making moves. We're saying that we should be making moves, but we don't make moves. And so there's a complete reset. And not that I've been fired, and it's probably the worst day of my life. But when that happens, it's an opportunity for new sets of eyes, new people to come in. And you do have a pretty good player in Nikola Jokic to build around. So there's opportunity for growth out of this. But I'm assuring you that was not a pleasant place to be over the last few months inside that building.
In this text on the fan text line, 503-864-6326, everybody, of course, jumps to bring Malone to Portland, but he has a history of getting very frustrated with young players. He likes veterans to lean on. I'm not sure he'd be the best fit with this team. Would love to have seen him here with Dame when Dame was here. I agree with that. There is a Michael Malone is a coach that is going to go to a veteran team that is ready to win. And that is where he can make a massive difference.
So am I allowed to disagree with you on this show?
Of course.
I know it's your show.
Of course.
So I think they won the NBA championship when they were still pretty young.
They did.
Yeah. So he has proven that he can coach for at pretty much every stop he's been. And we were talking about this before the show. A guy like Malone is kind of like a boiling pot of water with a lid on it. Eventually, it's gonna explode, right? And maybe that's what happened there. But there is no question that that guy can coach. And you watch him when they were clicking and they won. Obviously, having Jokic is a good start. But being able to use that guy and getting everybody else to play around him,
yeah,
because it's such a unique thing. Like, nobody has that skill set that Jokic has. So how do you take and move and shape all those parts and pieces? And he did that masterfully in their championship run with a young group.
Christian Brown was a rookie when they won the title in 2023. When you look at Jokic, was in his seventh year. Jamal Murray was in his fifth year. Guys that he leaned on were like Jeff Green, Reggie Jackson, 14th year, 11th year. But then they had Michael Porter Jr., who came up huge. He was a third-year player it was well-documented. He got really frustrated.
Yeah.
And I think there would be something to that, the accountability factor. And he's more old school in the way he keeps guys accountable.
But you're building, right? So they won it in Jokic's seventh year, but he coached him through that process.
All the way through. 2015,
to
that point, he had both he and Jamal Murray.
Yeah, so you're taking those young guys, and you're not going to win a championship with those guys when they're rookies, right? It's that build every single year, adding parts and components to your program. What are the guys that we have? How do we take the next step this year from, you know, being a 50-win team that's in the playoffs, that now we get an opportunity to compete at a higher level? Like, he's proven that he can do that. And he'll land. Like, you don't coach at the level that he's coached at and not find a spot to be doing your profession.
The guy who's stepping in his place, Portland's own David Adelman.
Yeah.
David Adelman, a former Lincoln High School basketball coach, now the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. And you want to talk about, I'm pulling for a guy. He's the son of Rick Adelman, which all Blazer fans should be pulling for David. And just for that alone, he is a hell of a dude. I mean, he is an incredible coach, but an awesome person too.
Yeah, and you know, I say this on the air here. He's probably the second best coach in his family. His sister, Kathy Adelman, was at Beaverton and Jesuit High School.
That put him at third best coach in the family.
That family has some basketball genetics in it. They've certainly put their imprint on the basketball landscape.
David Adelman now stepping in for the final three games in the playoff push. And we talked about this yesterday, but if you were to look at the NBA standings right now, there's an uncomfortable feeling, an uneasiness in Denver. Right now they sit fourth at 47-32. They do not play today. Their next game is tomorrow. Coming up tonight, you have the Clippers, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, and the Memphis Grizzlies all playing. By the time that they tip off in Sacramento tomorrow, the Denver Nuggets could be sitting seventh in the Western Conference without playing a single game due to tiebreakers, in the way that if all records are equal, they could go from fourth to seventh. They are on a four-game losing skid. It's starting to ratchet up, and ownership said, we're going to part ways. A weird time to do it.
Yeah, and you know, I think all those numbers are important, but the one thing that I think is probably the most important for that franchise is they do have a guy named Nikola Jokic.
He's a pretty good guy.
And so when any night that they step on the floor, they've got a chance to win, and they have a chance to win any series they're in because he's on the floor. And I'm going to be rooting for David, that's for sure. It'd be great to see a local guy go make a big imprint.
Anything that pops up in this, we'll keep you up to date. Michael Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets, fired. Their GM, Calvin Booth, will not be retained, and they're parting ways with him. Clean slate, head coach and GM in Denver, 3 days left in the regular season. That now is, Russ told me, 5 of 7 head coaches that have won championships have now been fired. 5 of the last 7.
It's not a profession for the faint of heart. It is a they get paid really well. It's a fun job, but you are, what have you done for me 5 seconds ago?
Well, coaching wise, last night we had quite the treat in the national championship game. The Golden Boy, Todd Golden, the youngest coach since Jim Valvano to win a national title, he beat a guy in 69-year-old Calvin Sampson, who he's been fired a time or two as well. But the game that those two guys coached last night was an all-timer in the NCAA. Let's break that down as the Gators are chomping their way to a national title. First is Rust with SportsCenter.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Back it out to Cryer, front court right. 5 seconds left to Sharp. Sharp spiked the ball. He can't touch it. Condon dives to the deck. Grabs it. That's it. That's it. Chop this one up for the Gators. Chop a national championship for Florida. The orange and blue dream is real for the first time in 18 years. Florida will cut down the nets, winners of the national championship.
That was the call on the Gators Sports Radio Network, courtesy of Learfield Sports. Florida knocking off Houston in dramatic fashion last night in the national championship game, 65-63, and the Gators are champs for the first time since Billy Donovan led the Gators to back-to-back titles in 2007-2008. A hell of a basketball game, capping off an incredible Final Four. The three games of the Final Four decided by a total of 12 points in those three games combined.
Yeah, it was great for the game. The men's game had kind of been struggling a little bit with viewership over the last few years. I think that level of competitiveness and that competition and, you know, high-level stars, too, playing really helped. It was absolutely fun to watch.
You can't help but feel bad for Houston. But you got to look at what the Florida Gators did to win that basketball game. We saw that Houston whittled away a 14-point lead in late in the second half against Duke, and they end up winning by scoring 15 points in the final 2 minutes. The last 2 minutes of the national championship game, they don't put the ball through the hoop, and they go scoreless, and they end up losing a 12-point lead late in the game. You feel for Houston, but at the same time, this is Florida's identity as well, is they drag you into deep water and they see if you can swim.
Well, and I think the thing that was really remarkable about this, and I think you'll see this across college athletics, the team that wins a championship like that over a long season, long tournament, you're going to play all sorts of different styles and all sorts of different teams that play different ways. And to win all those games, you have to be comfortable playing in a different style. And Florida, to me, won every which way that you could win. And they can win in the 90s, and they can win when it's 65-63 or 63-61, whatever the final was. Houston could not have won that game if it had gotten into the 70s. Florida figured out a way to win it in an ugly kind of fashion, and I don't think Houston could have played their way. And to all credit to Florida, they played Houston's way and figured out a way to win that game.
You know, that Walter Clayton Jr. had been incredible. You know, back-to-back 30 pieces in the Elite Eight and Final Four. First person to do that since Larry Bird. It's always good to have your name brought up with guys like Larry Bird.
Bird was good.
He was all right at Indiana State.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
They were all right. He goes, his first free throw in points he made at the 14:56 mark of the game. He did not make a field goal until there was 7:54 to go in the basketball game. From that point on, he changed that game, though. He finished with 11 points. But on the defensive end of the floor, a guy who is known for that spark offensively, the last two possessions, he forces Sharp into a triple team where he gets stripped by Richard in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, that run out, it is, that closeout was so smart by Walter Clayton because so many guys will run straight at him. He picked a side and said, all right, I'm not going to go into you. I'm not going to let you draw a foul. I'm going to go to the side. And it threw Sharp for a loop, and he just had to watch the ball drop.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to end up in the NBA, but I sure would like to coach that guy. He obviously is a very talented offensive player, and Houston did an incredible job face guarding him, chasing him off of every screen, doubling every single on-ball screen that he came off of. And most guys at that age would get frustrated having done what you said, right? 30 points, yep. Scoring 40. He just a scoring machine over the course of the tournament and could have gotten frustrated and checked out. He did not. And he continued to initiate their offense. He was unbelievable defensively the entire game. And his spacing, you know, being out as far away as he was from the basket allowed their bigs to get some easy stuff around the rim. I just think he's an incredible player. And when the moment was the biggest, he made the biggest play, and it wasn't making the shot. It was that closeout to lock up that game.
I'll tell you what, it is really hard, and you want to give all of the credit to Florida and what they did. Emmanuel Sharp for Houston, number 21. You feel for that kid.
Yeah.
He goes from being a hero in the city of Houston, a guy who brings a team back to the Final Four, goes back to a championship game, and you're on the cusp of winning it, and back-to-back offensive possessions are what people are going to remember his Houston basketball career for. You go from hero to persona non grata in that town. I feel for him on that. That is a... That's a tough way to end it.
Yeah, and these are kids, right? I mean, I know they're in their 20s, and this is an older group on the floor last night than normal that we've seen over the last few years. But they're still kids, and that is going to stick with him for a long time. But it's one of the things that, you know, I think it's lost in sport. We always talk about the winner, right? Like the winner, you get to write history about the winners. You can learn so much from that situation. The fact that they got there, the fact that they made that city proud of what they're doing, and learn how to get up from that and move on with his life. And I'm sure his coaches are wrapping their arms around him and doing the work that nobody sees. You see him playing on the floor, but the work for that staff right now is making sure that kid feels good about himself. Not that it's okay to make those plays, but that life is going to continue to go on. It is just a basketball game. It's a big basketball game, but it's a basketball game. And that's what sport can teach kids.
You know, they're going to be without LJ Cryer. Obviously, that's a big hit. Juwan Roberts is going to be gone. Those two guys are seniors. NBA prospects aside, you look at they could be returning Sharp, Uzan, and Tugler to that Houston lineup. I'm glad that it's not the end of the road, because if he was going to be a senior and that was going to be his final game, that's a tough way to go. But you just heard it in Kelvin Sampson after the game, just at a loss for how that game ended.
We have a set where I'm just going through those last two possessions more than anything else. It's incomprehensible in that situation. We couldn't get a shot. Gotta get a shot. We're down two, and obviously we didn't need a three.
That's tough here in Kelvin's. Like, he's feeling like what we're all feeling. Like, in the moment, you're like, oh, I know exactly. I'm thinking of the last two possessions. It's the same kid. That's got to be impossible as a coach to navigate.
Yeah, you know, I think I've been through similar things coaching. I had a kid, one of the best players in the country, an Olympian, turned the ball over with 13 seconds left, and all we needed to do was get fouled, and we win the NIT championship with one possession away. And so you see those kinds of things happen, but you have to give credit to Florida. It's not, everybody talks about making plays, and we all think offensive plays. You made a shot, you made a drive. Though Florida as a team and individually made the plays defensively to win that game.
Yeah. And now Todd Golden, 39 years old, becomes the youngest coach to win a title since Jimmy V back in 1983, where NC State beat Houston. Five slam a jamma. That's a rough one to be in.
Yeah.
But for Todd Golden at 39 in his third year there, this has got to be a situation where what is next for Todd Golden? The pressure of a rising star and what the next steps are to be that guy moving forward. Anthony Leverett's in for Danny. I'm Dusty Hare. This is Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Florida Gators erase a 12-point hole in the second half to beat Houston for the school's third national title, the first since Billy Donovan went back-to-back with pretty talented group, too.
Yeah.
And this leaves us to Todd Golden, now 39 years old. I mean, you think of his path where he's been, whether it's his connection with Bruce Pearl, Kyle Smith at University of San Francisco, goes over in the success he's having at Florida. He is the young star coach in college basketball right now.
He and Shire, yeah.
And at 39 years old, to climb the mountain, there's got to be a lot of pressure for a guy who you haven't been a head coach for very long. And in the times that you have been, whether it was taking over San Francisco from Kyle Smith and not missing a beat with the Dons, to then taking over that Florida job in quick order, going from an underachieving SEC team to the national title and a team that lost in the first round last year, and then to turn it around and climb the mountain. As a guy, and Anthony Leverett's with us today, in for Danny, former University of Utah women's coach, longtime men's coach as well here in the state of Oregon. You've seen this before, and going through that pressure's got to be immense on a guy like Todd Golden.
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty good to wake up Todd Golden today.
Like, I would say
he's obviously on the top of the mountain, and it requires a ton of work and luck too, but a lot of work and talent to get that job, and keeping it sometimes is harder. And I think the thing that I noticed about him that I think will serve him well if he continues is he seems to be super authentic on the sideline, celebrating, jumping up and down with his guys, having a great time, saying some goofy stuff that from the outside looking in, you're like, man, that guy might be kind of goofy, but his kids just absolutely love it. And that's all that matters. You need your players to absolutely love you and do anything for you. And just watching them play and kind of the discipline that they had, the resilience that they had. I mean, they were down over and over and over again in that tournament and never flinched and came back and won those games. And that is a testament to him and the way that he has trained and interacted with his kids.
He's as good as he is with that. Like, that's got to be that's that fine line when you're coaching, right? To be engaging with the players and relatable to your players, but also be the authority figure when you have, in his case, a baby face, as the texter is pointing out. My 10-year-old saw Todd Golden in the postgame celebration and asked why they allowed a high school kid up there, right?
Yeah.
He's got the baby face, but to be that authority figure on a team that is not just a bunch of one-and-dones either, you know, and I think Walter Clayton is a great example of that. You get a guy who played for Rick Pitino at Iona, and then you bring him down there. But you have got to have the chops to get through to those guys and know your stuff X's and O's. And I think that's where he is outstanding. And that was the fun part about last night. Kelvin Sampson, Todd Golden, X's and O's wise, in the entire Final Four for that matter, it was elite coaching in basketball.
Oh, I loved watching it. And I think to your point about Todd Golden, they ran excellent stuff. Their system is not just pick and roll motion. And the college men's game had, in my opinion, had gotten harder to watch over the last few years because everybody just running the same stuff over and over and over and over again. And this year's tournament, you saw significantly different systems within the different teams, the different leagues. And some of the actions that Florida ran, the 1-3 that the Florida kid made was an unbelievable set that got him wide open. And Houston is doing everything that they can to make sure he did not get wide open, and he got wide open. And the way that you get that trust with your players is that when you teach them something, you ask them to do something, and then they do it, and it works. If it doesn't, now you lose that trust with your kids. It doesn't matter how old you are. And they clearly trust him because he puts them in positions to be successful. And the system that he's implemented for that group works for that group incredibly well.
Todd Golden and the Florida Gators win a title. The game was incredibly entertaining. The Final Four was incredibly entertaining. In the tournament as a whole, it didn't have a lot of upsets, but you saw the best teams were the ones that were winning over and over and over again. And that is kind of the next phase in all of this is, has NIL and the transfer portal actually helped college basketball become more watchable?
Well, let's get to that. Just there's one thing. Just the reason there was a big difference between the Duke loss and the Florida win. Florida made their free throws, and they handled the press. So Duke couldn't get the ball inbounds, and they missed free throws. And my old mentor, Gordy James, two things that can cost you a game at any point in time in basketball is at any point in time missing a free throw and any point in time not being able to handle the press. And Duke did both of those things in that collapse. Last night, Florida made all of their free throws. And then when they put that press on and they needed to get the ball inbounds one time, they just needed to get the ball inbounds one time, they did and then got fouled at the other end. That was, those are little moments that maybe don't get recognized, but that's why you win those kinds of basketball games or lose those kinds of basketball games.
81% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
That is incredible as a team.
Yeah, and handled Houston's pressure. And I know they turned it over probably more than they normally do, but they at the critical moments, they handled the pressure.
That is something, though, that really bothered me with the way that game played out. The officiating, five team fouls in the first half, 25 in the second.
I don't think I can still get fined. I led the Pac-12 in technical fouls for four straight years.
Now you see why at the beginning of your career, I was like, I don't think he's very nice. I was watching you on the bench. Your face turns bright red.
Yeah.
And you just start yelling.
I'm not proud of that. And I have apologized since I started doing some TV, and every official that would come into the building, I would go immediately to them and apologize for anything that I had done to them previously. But It is hard for players. Coaches, you know, you just get frustrated. Players are trying to play a game and they get used to something, right? You got 20 minutes of the game being called one way, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, maybe they're seeing it different, maybe they have a conversation at halftime. You never know why the officials make that change, but that's frustrating for players and for fans who are watching the game, and all of a sudden you have this beautiful free-flowing game getting stopped constantly for free throws. And while free throws are an important part of the game, nobody pays the cost for a ticket or turns on their TV to watch a free throw contest.
And it turned into that in the second half especially.
Yeah.
Also why, and I'm going to have to write this down because I don't want to forget this, does men's basketball need to go to quarters? The only basketball that is not played four quarters.
Yes.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Golly, it would be so much better in fouls resetting too.
Yeah.
Getting to that point would be huge.
Yeah.
All right. The one thing though, did the transfer portal in NIL help this tournament in the game of college basketball? We'll get to that. Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with Anthony Leveritson, the Next Pitch podcast host, right here on 1080 The Fan.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.